So there are two readings this morning. First is taken from Matthew 4, verses 18 to 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing the nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The second reading is Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Good morning. Shall we pray? Lord, speak to us this morning through my words, that we may learn to see you more clearly, that we may love you more dearly, and that we may follow you more nearly, both today, this coming week, and for the rest of our lives. Amen. I hope you enjoyed singing that last song, which is one of my favourite hymns. I've got lots of favourite hymns, but that's just one of them. "Will you come and follow me if I but call your name?" Jesus knows each of us individually. "Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to change you? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you?" "Yes, of course, Lord." Surely that's how Simon and Andrew, James and John all answered when they saw Jesus and heard his call. "You can count on me. We really believe in you." We really believe in you. So is there any difference between a believer and a disciple of Jesus? Are you a disciple, or are you a believer, or are you both, or are you neither? Jesus, or possibly John, famously said, "God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's just believing. And again, after the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 believers who believed, 3,000 people who believed. But Jesus sent 70 disciples out amongst the population to spread the gospel message, as well as the 12 that we've just been learning about. The word disciple means follower, Carl said 2 weeks ago, and it's derived from the word disco, meaning to follow, not to dance. 2 weeks ago, Carl said that being a disciple was a matter of learning, of going on with the Lord. We can believe, but as James reminds us, the demons believe and indeed shudder. If we are a disciple, we respond to the Lord's call because we believe in him. Then we must be willing to change our priorities from doing our own thing to doing God's thing for us. This will involve commitment. Commitment from us to God's agenda for our lives. Then finally, he will be able to commission us or give us work to do. He calls us, he changes us, and he commissions us. So as far as his call for us is concerned, thank you. The most obvious thing to notice is that they were invited. They were therefore listening to Jesus. Jesus' call is only ever heard by those who are ready to listen to him. As Jesus said later in the gospel, he said, "Those who have ears, let them hear." But not everyone has ears. Many people are not willing to listen. It's only those whose hearts are ready to listen and have been stirred by the Holy Spirit who are ready to respond to Jesus' call and say yes. They understand something of who Jesus is and of their own spiritual need for help. These are people who, with the prophet Isaiah in the temple, cry out in despair when presented with that amazing vision of God's holiness, his perfection. "Woe is me, for I am a sinful man." And Jesus is uniquely able to answer our deepest spiritual needs and deal with our sin. As such, his physical healing miracles are mere byproducts of his spiritual power and authority. And these four men must have felt this, for incredibly, they dropped everything and left to follow Jesus. I'll bet you their father Zebedee wasn't too pleased. He'd been left with a whole bunch of broken nets, which they still hadn't repaired. In Luke chapter 5, we're told that these four people decided to follow Jesus after he had told them how to be more successful fishermen. He was standing on the shore and he said, "Drop your net on the other side of the boat." And it is true that we all sometimes need miraculous help with the day-to-day things of life, like catching fish or coping with computers, things like that. But it is not that that makes us disciples. We sign up to follow Jesus because we realize that there is more to life than fishing or computing or anything else that we get enthusiastic about. These four had probably been noticing all that Jesus had been doing and saying for months. And it is also probably true that they felt honored to be wanted by Jesus. But the Holy Spirit had also been working in their hearts. So when Jesus called them, sometimes by name, as in that song, they said yes in this remarkable way because they sensed Jesus' spiritual authority and their spiritual need. This is the initial choice that we all need to make as believers, the choice between my way and God's way. So now that they said yes, they would have to change. Their old habits and lifestyles would become out of place. They were about to embark on a nomadic lifestyle, in fact. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, Jesus once said. All disciples, all of us, need to let God change us, change how we talk, what we think, what we plan. This is the learning part of being a disciple. We are all works in progress. It is what that song we sang at the start of our service says, isn't it? "Will you let my love be shown Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you? The Lord should be changing us all, little by little, each and every day. And our hopes and expectations will change with our, as well as our attitudes. This is what discipleship is all about. Our second reading, imagined, should be ingrained on every disciple's heart. It highlights our responsibilities as disciples. True, Jesus is here to help us indirectly as we face life's challenges like fishing and computing. Great. But what sort of a life have his disciples chosen? The answer lies in this verse. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Following Jesus involves a cross. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." However, it is they, the few, who are Jesus' disciples. Those who choose the narrow road are people like St. Francis, William Tyndale, John Bunyan, William Wilberforce, Mother Teresa, to name a few, and hopefully you and me. Do you remember Eric Liddell, who, of Chariots of Fire fame, he obtained an Olympic gold for running the 400 metres in 1924 race, despite refusing to take part in the heats because they were held on a Sunday. Well, in 1925, after leaving Edinburgh University with his degree, he returned to China to teach in a missionary college. He returned to his native Scotland from time to time, including to be ordained and to get married. But he was back in China for the second half of the 1930s. Well, in 1941, you can guess things got a bit tight with the approach of the Japanese army in China. And his wife returned to Scotland expecting their third child, but he decided he would remain in China and was therefore taken as a prisoner of war. He continued to serve the Lord in the harsh and insanitary prisoner of war camp until he sadly died of a brain tumour in 1945. That illustrates the challenge of being a disciple, of taking up your cross. In everything, Eric Liddell put God first, and he lived a life of surrender and sacrifice. Here was a true, changed, and committed disciple. As Eric's life illustrates, discipleship is not all roses. It will include sacrifice and suffering, as it did for Jesus, whom we follow, and for the others, a few of whom we've just mentioned. Spiritual fulfillment through following Jesus in our dark world may well lead us to a life of self-denial and active persecution. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Jesus asks. Jesus calls us to make an honest and radical change of our ambitions and priorities from a life of self-interest and to self-denial. To follow Jesus, we need to change our perspective on our lives. For example, at the beginning of this very chapter, we see Jesus signing up for a 40-day tour of the Wheel of the Wilderness. The diet was non-existent. The main event was provided by the devil himself. And just like our master, we too will have temptations to resist of our own. lives, if we are to serve our Lord and Saviour effectively. You deny yourself. You follow Christ along the pilgrim path, even to possible martyrdom. 10 of the 11 disciples all were martyrs. And you're going to take a perverse delight in giving rather than receiving, of laying up treasure in heaven rather than to build more and more barns until you have a heart attack. Because for me to live is Christ, and to die is to gain. It's then that we discover how deep God's love is for us. And that sense of purpose and peace that goes with it. So these four disciples were not only changed, they were totally committed. And commitment is what is implied when we call Jesus Lord. It's to put Jesus' desires for us before our own. And in this way, we leave our comfortable lives for a life of service. And once we do that, we are ready for an adventurous and committed life with our Saviour. I suggest it is at this point that we graduate from being mere believers to becoming disciples. And so Jesus is now able to unfold his agenda to them and indeed to us, to commission us, to be a committed part of Jesus' team involves accepting responsibilities. The disciples weren't there just to keep up the numbers. They were given a job to do. And that was to become, in verse 17, fishers of men, to draw others to God through Jesus. In this way, they were commissioned. All disciples are commissioned. And we are all commissioned to be fishers of men, sharing God's love, joy, and peace, which is ours in Jesus, and which is so absent in our world. So Jesus' final words in Mark's Gospel explain to us what being a fisher of men means. He says, in the Authorized Version, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And Jesus says something similar in Matthew and Luke. In other words, we are not here just for our own benefit. The fishermen were not called merely to follow Jesus. Rather, they, and we all, are called by Jesus for a purpose, which is to tell other people about Jesus, about God's love for them, through our actions and through our words, however challenging we may find our current situation. We are the light of the world, people whom the Holy Spirit has set alight with love for God's creation, and especially our fellow human beings. So let me ask you, what sort of a disciple are you? I hope that you can see from this passage that a disciple is a committed person whom Jesus has called, changed, and commissioned. Jesus changes lives by changing hearts, changing ambitions, changing priorities, and stirring people into lives of service. He changes how we view everything, from what's in it for me, we've heard a lot of that recently in the news, to what are you wanting me to get involved in, Lord Jesus? A change from building bonds to being a pilgrim. That is why Jesus' life, death, and resurrection have changed the world. Because of the changed lives of his disciples. Every Christian person you've ever met has been changed to some degree by Jesus Christ. And the basic expectation of being a disciple is someone whose heart has been captured and changed by Jesus.